Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare.
Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai.
So on this day, how many years ago? How long since Lord Chaitanya appeared?
520.
So 532 years ago, very auspicious today, that Nityananda, that was Mahaprabhu, and then Lord Nityananda is just before him. So 532 years ago on this day, Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared in a village called Ekachakra Gram, which is somewhere, I believe, north of Mayapur Dham in West Bengal. Anyone's been there to Ekachakra Gram? Must be very ecstatic. You went there too? Must be a very ecstatic place, huh? Where Lord Nityananda appeared 500 years ago. So it's interesting because if you go to Mayapur, for example, and you visit the different Gaur-Nitai temples, which were established by, for example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or the different Gaudiya Mats, the followers of the Gaudiya tradition. Generally, if you go to the temples, you'll see in the worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, generally Mahaprabhu is worshipped either by himself or with Gadadhar Pandit. And this is to symbolise, esoterically, that Gadadhar Pandit is not different from Srimati Radharani. And because he's not different from Radharani, then just as Radha and Krishna worship together, then you'll see on the first altar before the Radha Krishna worship, you'll see the worship of Gaur Gadadhar, which is showing us that Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in their nocturnal kirtans at Srivasangam, at the home of Srivas Thakur, they were experiencing the mellows and tastes within the kirtan that Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna were experiencing in their exchanges together. So generally we'll see when we go there to Mayapur, you'll see Gaur Gadadhar worship. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's own deities were Gaur Gadadhar, right? And in the various mats, it's usually Gaur Gadadhar worship. But it's very interesting because even though this is the tradition, when Srila Prabhupada travelled all over the world and established more than 108 temples all over the world, whenever he established temples, there's nowhere in ISKCON where he's established Gaur Gadadhar worship. Srila Prabhupada has chosen instead to establish the worship of Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai, just as we have here in Melbourne. And Melbourne is especially auspicious. Of course, we are biased in our opinion. Sydney is also very auspicious for our travelling guests. But Melbourne is a very auspicious temple because up until when the Panchatattva in Sridhar Mayapur, which were installed a couple of years ago in Mayapur, up until when they were installed, our Sri Sri Gaur Nitai here in Melbourne are the largest solid cast metal deities of Gaur Nitai in the world. Each one weighs half a ton. It takes six men to carry them. That's why we say all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Guru means heavy, because they are extremely powerful, immovable. And Prabhupada was so much in the mood of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai and their worship that he called this temple Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. And the first time Prabhupada walked into the doors and saw this temple, the first thing Prabhupada said is, the temple room is not big enough. And we stand on Janmashtami, it's true. It's not big enough. On that, Prabhupada said where the car park is, said you should build a big temple there. So maybe Parama can collect a few. Like that. No, I was just joking. But you see that wherever Prabhupada went around the world, he established again and again and again the worship of Sri Sri Gaur Nittai. So this is very deep, the reason behind this, right? So we should try to understand on this day the mood of Lord Nityananda and the mercy of Lord Nityananda. These two things are very important for the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the nectar, and sorry, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you try to access the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without first receiving the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he said this is like the logic of half a hen. You may have a hen, and you may think, well, it takes so much to feed the hen, but I get so many eggs from the hen. So better that I cut the hen in half, I save money on feeding, and I can still get the eggs. This is foolishness. And Kaviraj Goswami says, this is the same as trying to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without first approaching the mercy and understanding the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu, as Ganga Prabhu was talking about or explaining to us on Advaita Acharya's appearance day a week ago, Nityananda Prabhu is the greatest servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no greater servant. Even Advaita Acharya, who is God himself, right, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva, and he points to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and says that if you want to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first you must get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Otherwise you will not get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you try to go to him directly, it is not possible. And this is our teachings of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu famously said, Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa, which means that everyone is the servant of the servant of the servant, hundreds of times removed, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. So therefore, if you want to understand, if you want to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first you must approach Lord Nityananda. Now why must we approach Lord Nityananda? What is his particular mood? What is his mission? What is his feeling towards Mahaprabhu? He is completely sold out as a servant to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Within his consciousness, there is nothing else but the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, we say, Guru Gauranga Jayate. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. What does this mean? Who do we refer to when we say, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga? Yeah, Sri Guru is Nityananda Prabhu. He is Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. The duty of the spiritual master is to teach all of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to surrender and serve pleasingly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Nityananda is the greatest example of how to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he understands Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart and his inner mood better than anyone. So therefore, if you want to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first you must get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And how do you get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu? You have to serve the servants of Nityananda Prabhu. That's why in our disciplic succession, first we worship Guru, our spiritual master, then we worship Srila Prabhupada, then we worship the disciplic succession, back to Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu offers our service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And without the intervention or intercession of these personalities, it's not possible to have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept our service. What to speak of approaching Radha and Krishna, which is another level of, you know, consciousness altogether. So therefore, if you want the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you must approach the servants of Nityananda Prabhu. Now, what is the mission of Nityananda Prabhu? His mission is to engage as many conditioned souls as possible in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why today we're having Maha Naga Sankirtan, right, in downtown Melbourne. We will flood Downtown, are the deities coming today? The deities come, yeah. We'll flood Melbourne. The deities will flood Melbourne with Krishna Prem. Everyone in Melbourne becomes stunned and inundated by the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Nithai. Their mood is they want every conditioned soul to take the mercy of Krishna. So we see the Vaishnavas thinking of the welfare of the conditioned souls right now are packing little, how would you say it, like bombs. Right? This is the difference between us and fanatical Islamic sentiment. They also make bombs to fight against the material energy. But our bombs are a little different and far more potent. Lord Chaitanya does not want to kill the people. Lord Chaitanya wants to kill the demoniac principle within the person. Because each one of us is demoniac in the sense that we have a mood of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to change that mood. Instead of enjoying separately from Krishna, living completely simply for the enjoyment of Radha and Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu is organizing all the devotees to spread this mercy unlimitedly. And it's interesting because Nityananda Prabhu is the only incarnation of Godhead who is called Akrodha Avatar. Akrodha means without anger. Every other incarnation of God displays anger within the Leela. Just like Lord Nisringadev sometimes gets angry. Right? That's a different pastime. But. And you'll see here Lord Balaram, who is non-different from Nittai. Balaram Ahoy Lord Nittai, he is also showing anger. All the other incarnations, even Krishna shows anger. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows anger. But Lord Nityananda never shows anger. What's that? To Vamanadev? I'm not sure. But he must. Because it said, I read that the Nityananda Prabhu is the only one who doesn't show anger. So I don't know, I can't think of any pastime, but a bit like that. He was in ecstasy. We might get to that pastime. Yeah, so he never shows anger. So therefore, he is the most merciful, he is the most tolerant personality. And if you want to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ultimately Radha Krishna, you must approach him, because no matter how unqualified we are in our service, right? How many discrepancies, how much anatta, how much ignorance is there within our consciousness? Lord Nityananda Prabhu does not consider any of it. And he simply takes us by the scruff of the neck and engages us in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki
jai!
So, 532 years ago, he appeared in a place called Ekachakragram. And when Nityananda Prabhu appeared, he was completely absorbed in his childhood pastimes in the mood of Lord Krishna's pastimes. He would simply fill his days with his friends, his young friends and associates, the other boys in the village. They would simply enact dramas of the pastimes of the different avatars of Krishna. And in this way, he was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. His father's name was Hadai, Pandit, and his mother's name was Padmavati. And he was the life and soul of Hadai, Pandit and Padmavati, and everyone within Ekachakragram. Everyone was absorbed in the consciousness of Lord Nityananda, of Nittai, as they called him. Even sometimes they would see him performing these different dramas with his friends and play acting, and they were so absorbed in the moods and the mellows of the different dramas that they were enacting, that the adults would think, how would they know? How would they even understand at such an early age all of the intricacies of the pastimes? How would they understand the characters' moods so deeply? They were fully absorbed in the moods. And even some villagers, some of the members of the village would say, I think maybe he's even an incarnation of Krishna. He may even be the Supreme Lord himself. And someone would say, no, he couldn't be. He's just a boy. And then they become covered by Yogamaya again, same as in Krishna's pastimes. So one time he was enacting one drama of Lord Ramachandra fighting Ravana. And he was playing the part of Lakshmana, who actually he is. Lakshman is an incarnation of Nityananda Prabhu. So he was playing the part of Lakshman, and he was fighting with Ravana. A Ravana hitting with one Shakti weapon. And in the pastime, Lakshman becomes unconscious on the battlefield. So what happened is Lord Nityananda became unconscious on the battlefield. And everyone was watching. And then he didn't move. And everyone was thinking, he's just playing, he'll get up soon, like children do. They play, but then they keep going. But he just laid there. So everyone became very anxious. So they all ran over to him, and someone brought a cotton swab and they put it under his nostrils. Just a tiny little bit of breathing was there, but there was no life within him. They were saying, Nitai, Nitai, wake up. So then all the parents in the village came, all the elders in the village, and everyone was gathered around him. And everyone was very in anxiety, very anxious. What should we do? So then they were saying, somehow we have to wake him up, we have to wake him up. And then one of the members of the village, they said, I know what to do. We have to get Hanuman to go to the Himalayas and get the herbs. And when Hanuman brings them back and gives them to him, he will revive himself. So the young boy who was playing the part of Hanuman, then he went to the Himalayas and he got the herbs and he brought them back. And he came and he gave them to Lakshman. And when Lakshman smelt them, he woke up. Nitai woke up and everyone said, Jai! Like that. He came back to consciousness again. So these pastimes were being enacted and everyone was just completely encaptured by him. He's such a loving personality. I was reading, it describes his personality. It said that he always speaks in a very pleasing way to everyone. And he speaks with very loving, sweet tones. And everyone is just captivated by the words that he uses. He's always glorifying the devotees and he's always endearing the devotees with his sweet speech. And he has a very deep and grave and very blissful mood. And he is always smiling, just slightly, just like you see on the altar. Not like a big cheesy grin, but just like very slightly smiling, very soothingly and calmly. So then, when he got to, he grew up a little bit, and he got to around about, to think about the age of 12 or so. By the arrangement of Providence, the one sannyasi came to his father's house. His father was a brahmana, Hadai Pandit. So when he came to his house, the duty of the Brahmin is to accept the wandering mendicant into his home. So he accepted the sannyasi into his home. And the sannyasi came in and he said, whatever is in my home is yours. Please take anything that you like. Everything belongs to you. Treat your home as my property as yours. So he stayed the night and he was served by Hadai Pandit very nicely. And then the next day he went to leave the sannyasi. And Hadai Pandit said to him, is there anything we can give you? Can we give you any alms? Is there any gift that we can offer you? He said, I'm not in need of anything. I'm very calm, I'm very peaceful, I'm very satisfied in my ashram. But he said, however, one thing which would be very handy to me is that if you could give me one companion to travel with. And I think that your boy, Nitai, is a very suitable personality for me to travel with. Right? His nature is very pleasing. I'd be very happy if he could travel with me around India on pilgrimage. So when Hadai and Pandit and Padmavati heard these words from the sannyasi, it was like a thunderbolt had struck them on their head. And they became completely devoid of life. They thought, what is this? What is taking place? What words has this sannyasi spoken? And within their minds and their hearts, they thought, there is no possible way that we can let Nitai go. But then they began to think about it very deeply and they thought, we cannot offend this Vaishnava, this sannyasi, so we will allow Nitai to go with him. So they said, please take our son as your travelling companion. And then Nitai, he went with Lakshmi. The name of the sannyasi was Lakshmipati Tirtha, who was the guru of Madhavendra Puri. Like that. Usually, it is seen within our disciplic succession, we usually say that Madhavendra Puri is the guru, the Diksha Guru of Nityananda Prabhu. But those who study the scholars within Gaudiya Vaishnavism say that Lakshmipati Tirtha was actually the guru, and Madhavendra Puri, because he was a senior disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha, a senior god brother, that Nityananda Prabhu always treated him like a spiritual master, a guru. So he's also considered to be like guru within disciplic succession. So he took him, and Nityananda Prabhu left with the sannyasi, And he did not even turn back. He was so detached from this material world, he just simply left in a very blissful state with the sannyasi. And as he walked off with the sannyasi, his parents just fainted out of separation. And in the very short time, his father left his body, just out of separation from Nittai. He had no purpose to live anymore now that Nittai was gone. So Nittai very blissfully began to travel around. It's very difficult to understand these things, these pastimes of the Lord. How Krishna, how Lord Nityananda can simply display this kind of pastimes. But we must understand, on the transcendental level, the Lord and the devotee are never separated. There's no such thing as separation. Even in separation, there is union between the Lord and the devotee. So we can understand the pastimes like that. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand how Krishna or Lord Nityananda can do these things. So he began to travel around India, and he travelled to all the holy places. Just like Lord Balaram before the battle of Kurukshetra, he also travelled to all the holy places in India. So Lord Nityananda, in that same mood, travelled to all the holy places around India. And then finally, he reached Sri Vrindavan Dham after much travel. And it is said that when he reached Vrindavan, his bliss, because his name is Nityananda, which means he is always full of bliss. He is the personification of bliss in the service of Lord Gauranga. He was in so much bliss that it said that his bliss increased 1,000 times as soon as he entered Vrindavan. So he entered into Vrindavan and he began to travel around to the different places of Krishna's pastimes. And it is said that as he was travelling around, he was speaking to himself like a madman. Because whenever people would see him, they would look at him and they would think, what is he talking about? Well, who is he talking to? Because in his pastimes, in his consciousness, he could see Vrindavan. He could see all the cowherd boys were there. All the cows were there. Govardhan Hill was there. He could see everything was there. So he was engaging in conversations with his associates. But for anyone who was on the external platform, they could just see Lord Nityananda walking around just having like conversations. There was no one else there to relate to. So everyone thinking he was just madman, right? Just absorbed. He's just avadut, absorbed in some ecstatic state of consciousness. This was his consciousness. So eventually he got to one place called Sringaravat, Nityanandavat, which is on the river Jamuna, just near Keshigat. And he was there, and he was in so much ecstasy, it is said that sometimes he would lay down very peacefully. And then he would come into consciousness, and then he would pick up flowers and he'd decorate the flowers all over his body. He'd just put different flowers all over his body. And then after some time of laying there, he'd become conscious again, and then he'd look and see all the flowers on his body, and then he'd jump up and he'd scream. What all these? What this? And no one could understand. I mean, we don't know what what he was doing, what his consciousness was. But he was just absorbed in some extreme ecstasy. Because actually in this place, Sringaravat, is a place where Radha and where Krishna serves Radharani in Sevakunj in Vrindavan. So we don't know. Maybe something was going, we don't know what was going on. But he was just absorbed in ecstatic Krishna consciousness. So then within his heart, he had a darshan. Suddenly there was an effulgent darshan which took place within his heart while he was at Sringaravat, and he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had began his Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip. So at this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was around the age of 20 and Nityananda Prabhu was around the age of 32 in terms of their earthly appearance. So then immediately he stood up and he understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was beginning the Sankirtan pastimes, the Sankirtan Leela. And he began to walk from Vrindavan to Mayapur. So he walked and walked and walked for some days through the jungles of Jarikanda Forest and so forth. And then he just walked and walked, and then eventually he got to Mayapur. And when he arrived in Mayapur, he was in ecstasy, thinking of his imminent meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he thought, first of all, let me play a game with Nimai. Let us have some fun. So then, he went to the house of Nandanacharya, which if you go to ISKCON Chandradaya Mandir in Mayapur, our temple, if you go out the front gate and turn left, the first Gaudiya Math down the road on the left, that is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda met for the first time. So it was a very beautiful garden. And it was in the house of one Brahmana called Nandanacharya. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he went and he entered into that garden. And that garden was just like Vrindavan, full of berry trees, full of peacocks, full of beautiful parrots, beautiful vines and flowers everywhere. And he sat down there in a very peaceful mood and just went into meditation. He just sat down and began to meditate on Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he began to smile because he understood that Lord Nityananda had come to Mayapur. So then he said to his associates, he said, a very great saintly person has arrived here. And actually, Lord Chaitanya had a dream the night before that a great golden chariot had arrived in front of his home. And off that chariot, a beautiful person dressed in blue garments had got off that chariot, a beautiful golden personality. So he understood that Nityananda Prabhu had arrived. So then he was waiting in the garden, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a very great saintly person has come to Navadvip. I would like you to find him and bring him to me. So he sent two of his most confidential servants, Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur. He said, go out and bring the great saintly person to me. So who is Haridas Thakur in terms of his other personality outside the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma. And who is Srivas Thakur? Narad Muni. So if Narad Muni and Lord Brahma are looking for you, where will you hide? Where is your hiding place? You can't hide. There is no hiding place. They searched for 9 hours all around Navadvip. They went everywhere around Navadvip, travelled, and they went to every door and they said, is a great saintly person arrived here? Has someone came? Is there a great sadhu here? And wherever they went, everyone said, no, no one has come. There is no one here. So after 9 hours, they came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, we've looked everywhere, but we cannot find any sadhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intimated that it's very difficult to find him because he's Lord Balaram. And if Lord Balaram wants to use his Shakti, his Yogamaya potency, to conceal himself, very difficult to discover the Supreme Lord. The Lord can only reveal himself when he desires. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, follow me, I will take you to where he is. So they all got up and they followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everyone was in great anticipation because they could see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extremely excited and extremely jubilant to meet this personality. He was in a deep mood of ecstasy. So they went there performing Naga Sankirtan, and they came to Nandanacharya's house and they entered into the garden. And when Lord Nityananda, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enter, he stood up. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to stare at him. And Nityananda Prabhu began to stare at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they just began to look at each other in a gaze. They just locked their vision on each other without focus, completely lost focus of anything else in the world, anything external. And they just gazed at each other for a long time. In great ecstasy. They were just feeling overwhelmed with pleasure to see each other. And the devotees were witnessing all of this and they were just thinking, what is taking place? These two personalities look almost identical. Just like you see them on the altar, they look almost identical. Both are 7 feet tall, right? Pure golden complexions, right? And the most beautiful personalities in existence. So everyone was just in ecstasy, and everyone was saying, who are they? They must be Krishna and Balaram. They must be like this. Everyone was saying, who are they? They must be Ram and Lakshman. Finally, after some time, Lord Nityananda roared. Just became overwhelmed in ecstasy. And then he just ran at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and embraced him. And they just went into a deep embrace, the two of them. And then they fell onto the floor and they began to roll on the floor, just embracing each other. And then Lord Chaitanya sat up. And Lord Nityananda put his head on his lap. And Lord Chaitanya was just stroking the hair of Lord Nityananda and just looking into the face of Lord Nityananda. And then Lord Nityananda sat up and he put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his lap. And he just began to stroke his hair and just speak sweet words to him. And they were just crying, tears of ecstasy, in the first time they had met. Feeling great ecstasy in finally having union once again in their pastimes. So then after some time, Lord Nityananda became the constant associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And especially within the external nocturnal kirtans at Srivasangam, he was a very prominent member of the kirtan party. Right, he would increase the ecstasy of the kirtan party. Just like when we're in the kirtan, whenever we hear the name of Nittai, automatically we spontaneously become enthusiastic to hear and chant. Right, so everyone was just absorbed in ecstasy when they were hearing the name of Lord Nityananda and seeing him within the kirtan. So then he began to become one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his mood was a little different to the others within the group. He was known as Avadut. Avadut means beyond rules and regulations. Nothing fixed. Everything was a little mysterious about him. Sometimes they would be having a kirtan and everyone would be dancing in ecstasy and Lord Nityananda would suddenly disappear. And then he would come back a few minutes later and he would stand in the middle of the kirtan. And the only thing he was wearing was his kopans. But they were wrapped around his head. And he would just be smiling at everyone. And everyone would say, Lord Chaitanya would say, "What are you doing?" And Lord Nityananda would just smile at him very mildly and just say, "It's just the way it is." And Lord Nityananda would say, Lord Chaitanya would say, please put something on. He would take a gumshoe and wrap it around him and say, "Please, please be calm. Please just behave yourself." Sometimes he would go to the Ganga to swim. He would dive into the Ganga and float in the Ganga. And sometimes he wouldn't come out for 3 days. Sometimes the Ganges would be floating down. Ganga, you know, anyone been in the Ganga, is very strong flow. Sometimes he would hop into the Ganga, lay on his back and begin to float upstream against the current. And then sometimes he would see big crocodiles, big alligators were in the Ganga swimming around, and he would swim over to them and he would grab them and then he would roll them in a death roll. Just like a crocodile, they grab you and they roll you around and then... So he would grab the crocodiles and roll them around and then let them go and the crocodile would just float down the river. So he was always absorbed in these very ecstatic moves. It was very difficult to understand. One time, Mother Sachi, she said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Nimai, she said, "I had a very ecstatic dream." She said, "In my dream, you two boys, Nimai and Nitai, you came to the altar, to the deity room, where we have our deities of Krishna and Balaram. And you entered into the deity room and you began to eat the bhoga from the deities of Krishna and Balaram." So Krishna and Balaram, they jumped off the altar and they began to argue with Nitai and Nimai. They said, "Who are you two boys? And why are you taking our bhoga?" And Lord Nityananda would stand up in front of them, in front of Krishna and Balaram, and he would say, "No more of your nonsense, right? From now on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vishwambara, he is the lord of this house, and all the offerings shall go to him." Right? And then Balaram would stand up in front of him, and he would say, "The rule of the Brahmanas is finished. The cowherd boys are now here. And it is time for the cowherd boys to have their pastimes." So then Lord Nittai said to Balaram, he said, "If you do not behave yourself, I'll give you a good beating." Right? And then they begin this fight would go on between the two. And then they began to grab the boga and everyone would be fighting with each other, grabbing each other's hands as they're trying to have the boga. So these, and then Mother Sachi, she told this pastime to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Nimai, and he just smiled very pleasingly. And like that, yes, all this is taking place. So then, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had started his Sankirtan Leela, so because he had began his Sankirtan Leela, he was sending the devotees out every day to preach. So he paired the devotees up, and he sent Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur out together to go and preach. So Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they would go off very happily, and they would go to everyone's house in Navadvip, and they would knock on the doors. So this is Balaram and Lord Brahma coming to your front door. So they knock on your door, you come to the door and they say, "Please chant the name of Krishna. Please worship Krishna. Please offer your obeisances to Krishna." Right? They just encourage everyone to dedicate their life to Krishna. They would fall down flat at their door and say, "Everyone, please dedicate your life to the service of Krishna." So then they were travelling around and they were converting many, many people in Navadvip to become devotees of Krishna, Vaishnavas. And then one day they were going down the road and there was a big commotion going on in the middle of the street. And two brothers, Jagai and Madhai, were having a fight. They were drunk in the middle of the road and they were fighting each other over a bottle of wine or something. And each one was beating the other one like that. And they were punching each other and fighting and calling each other names. And then Lord Nityananda, he saw these two personalities and he said to Haridas Thakur, he said, if we can deliver these two fallen personalities, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya will become unlimitedly famous throughout the world if these two personalities can take to Krishna consciousness. So therefore he went through the crowd and he got into the centre and he saw Jagai and Madai and he said to them, please just chant the holy name of Krishna. Please worship Krishna. Please bow down to Krishna. And they became infuriated and they picked up some clay pots and they began to throw them at Lord Nityananda. And then they began to chase him down the road. So Lord Nityananda began to run down the road and Haridas Thakur was running behind him. And Lord Nityananda was laughing. And Jagai Madai were running behind them, throwing things at them. They were infuriated, they wanted to kill them. And Haridas Thakur said, I'm never coming on Sankirtan with you again. He said, this is just too dangerous. So they were running and running and running. And Lord Nityananda was laughing and he was running down the road. So then they went to Lord Chaitanya that night. And when they got to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya said, so what is the report? How did your preaching go today? And Haridas Thakur said, I'm never going out with him again. He nearly gets us killed. We go out, he sees two drunk men, he goes up and he tries to preach to them and they nearly kill us. They chase us down the road. And Lord Nityananda was just smiling very ecstatically. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that he tried to deliver such fallen souls. So the next day he said to Haridas Thakur, he said, let's go back and try to deliver them again. And Haridas Thakur, he was very nervous. He said, I don't know, this is very dangerous. So Lord Nityananda, he went. So then he went and he came before them and very calmly and very pleasingly he said, please take to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And this time, Jagai, he picked up, was it Jagai or Madhai struck him? Madhai struck him? Yeah. Madhai picked up the pot and threw it at Lord Nityananda and hit him in the head. And then some blood began to come down his forehead. And Lord Nityananda, he's very sober, very equipoised, very grave. So he just remained very undisturbed by the whole incident. And he said, please, I beg you, please, do you just begin to chant the holy names of Krishna? Like that. So he wasn't disturbed at all. But Madhai was just infurious. He just shouting blasphemy at him and throwing things at him. So then the devotees ran back to Lord Chaitanya and they said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda has been struck by this rascal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was infuriated. So he came running to the spot and he was so angry that immediately he took his Sudarshan disc and he was about to kill Madhai. And then at that time, Lord Nityananda, he stood in the way and he said, please, my Lord, do not spare these two. They are so sinful, I know, but if you kill them because of their sin, who can you spare in Kali Yuga practically? Who has not committed sin in Kali Yuga? Your duty is to deliver them. So please give them your mercy. So being pacified by Lord Nityananda and understanding, beginning to understand their deviant ways, Jagai came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell down on his lotus feet and said, please forgive me, my Lord. I did not understand what I was doing. We've offended the greatest devotee, Lord Nityananda. Please forgive us. And then Madhai was about to attack Lord Nityananda again previously and Jagai stopped him. So therefore he was forgiven by Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya said of Madhava, Madhai, he said that for you to be forgiven, you must beg mercy at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda because you have offended him. By causing pain to Lord Nityananda, you have caused pain to me. I will not forgive you until Lord Nityananda forgives you. So he went to Lord Nityananda, Madhai fell down on his lotus feet, and then he went to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya forgave him. And then he stood up, and Lord Chaitanya embraced him. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, all of his sin entered into his form. And it is said that for one moment, Lord Nityananda's beautiful golden form, Gaura Sundara, became Sham Sundara, became black from all the sin which entered into his form. Advaita Acharya saw his form and then thought, he looks just like Sham, he looks just like Krishna. And then he turned back into his golden form again. And then he said of the two of them, he said, I will forgive you, but do not commit this sin again. Never commit any Vaishnava aparad again. So they became great devotees, Jagai and Madhai, they became great devotees. And every day they would serve at one ghat, which is on the bank of the Ganges. And every day the Vaishnavas would come there and they would clean the ghat. and look after their clothes, and they became very humble, very exalted, pure devotees of Gaur Nitai. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas. And when he took sannyas, he travelled to Jagannath Puri. And Nityananda Prabhu went with him. And just before they got to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya, he gave his sannyas danda, the eka danda, to Lord Nityananda. He said, "Please, Nitai, look after my danda while I take bath here in the river." So he took bath within the river, and Nityananda Prabhu was thinking to himself, why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is a Paramahamsa, need to identify with Varnashram? He is beyond Varnashram, he is beyond sannyas. He doesn't need this sannyas rod. So he took the rod and he broke it, and then he threw it into the river. So then Lord Chaitanya came back and he said to Lord Nityananda, he said, "Where is my danda?" And he said, "I threw it into the river." And he said, "You what? You know, can you imagine breaking a sannyasi's danda and throwing it into a river?" So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became infuriated. And actually, it is said there are different reasons why Lord Nityananda broke it. One reason, because he was thinking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't need it. But also he understood Lord Chaitanya's inner mood and inner desire. Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Jagannath Puri alone. And he wanted to see Jagannath. He wanted to have darshan of Jagannath by himself. Because actually he's in the mood of Radharani. So when Radha and Krishna are together, generally Balaram is not there also. So therefore he did this also understanding the Lord's mood. But the Lord, internally he was pleased, but externally he showed anger to Lord Nityananda, and he ran to Jagannath Puri by himself. So then they stayed in Jagannath Puri for some time. And then Lord Nityananda, one time Lord Chaitanya took him aside privately. And when he took Lord Nityananda aside, they had a secret conversation, which no one ever heard what was said between them. But some say that Lord Chaitanya instructed Lord Nityananda to become a Grihastha, and then he also taught him to go and preach in Bengal. So then he headed off towards Bengal, they were living in Orissa at Puri, headed back towards Bengal to preach. So he took his Dwadasha Gopals, the 12 associates who were the 12 cowherd boys in Krishna Balaram Leela. He took those 12 cowherd boys with him, who were his 12 associates, Goridas Pandit and the different associate, Abhiram Das Thakur. And he took them with him. So in ecstasy, they began to do kirtan, going from Jagannath Puri back towards Bengal. But they were in so much ecstasy, instead of following the road, sometimes they would go off 20 kilometers this way, just chanting and dancing. And then they would stop and they would say to some cowherd boy, "Is this the way to Bengal?" And he said, no, the road's back over there. So then they go back that way, 20 kilometers. They cross the road and go across the other side. And then they'd be off somewhere and they'd say to some village man, they'd say, "Is this the way to Bengal?" He said, "No, the road's back that way." So they go back that way. So they're just in ecstasy. And they're in so much ecstasy that sometimes, as they were walking along, they would come to trees. And they were having kirtan, and everyone was in ecstasy, just dancing in kirtan. There was huge, huge trees. And one of the devotees would just go up and hug the tree. And he's in so much ecstasy, he'd just pick the tree up out of the ground and just drop it on the ground. And this huge tree just go in the middle of the kirtan. And everyone would just be looking around like, what's going on? And then another devotee would walk up to the tree and then begin to walk up the side of the tree. And then he'd come out onto the branches and he'd get out onto the leaves, like onto the very, make himself light like a feather. And he'd be standing on the end of the leaves and he'd look down at everyone and say, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Everyone look at me, Hare Krishna." And they'd begin to dance and then they'd all come back down. And then another devotee, he would go and pick up a piece of bamboo. And the bamboo in Bengal grows like from here to the end wall, like 20 meters long. And he'd pick up the bamboo like a flute like Krishna. And he'd begin to play like this. And every time he swung around, all the devotees would be like... And then he'd come back again and everyone was just dancing in kirtan. So the kirtans were very ecstatic. So then they travelled back and they got to Bengal. And then when he got to Bengal, he was staying in different people's places. And then the brother of Goridas Pandit, what was his name, the brother? I can't remember his name. He's the father of Vasudha and Janavamata. So he came there and Lord Nityananda, he wanted to marry his daughters. And this personality, the brother, I can't remember his name, the brother of Goridas Pandit, he said to him, "I don't know who you are. You know, you're just an avid dude. You know, you appear to have very good character, but you're an avadut. You don't have an ashram. You're supposed to be a grihasta. You're supposed to have a home. I give my daughters to you. You'll just go off into the forest, then just wandering here and there, and you're just chanting all the time. I don't know if you're a very suitable match. But then in that night, he had a dream. And in the dream, once again, Lord Nityananda came in the form of Balaram. And then he understood who this personality was who was asking for his daughters in marriage. So then the next day, he conceded that he would give, was it Janava who he gave first? Janava he gave first. He gave Janava Mata to Lord Nityananda in marriage. So when they were preparing for the marriage ceremony, Lord Nityananda was sitting down with his associates. And the sister of Janava Mata, Vasudha, she was serving out Lord Nityananda and the other associates. And Lord Nityananda was looking at her and he's thinking, she is also very beautiful. I would also like to marry her also. Like that. And then she was going up and down the line serving. Because actually she was one of his eternal wives. Janava and Vasudha were actually Varuni and Revati, who are Lord Balaram's eternal wives. So he was thinking, I'm very attracted to her. She's my eternal consort. I would also like to marry her. So then she came and she was serving out Lord Nityananda, and she was very shy and she had her sari over her head. And then she was serving out Lord Nityananda. Her sari fell off her head. And then two other arms came out and put her sari back up and then went back in again. And Lord Nityananda was watching and he thought, well, that's pretty far out. So he thinks I'll marry her also. So then he married Vasudha and Janava, both. And they both became his eternal consorts as they were in the pastimes of Balaram. And then he had two children with Vasudha, Virachandra, who was the great powerful son of Lord Nityananda, and Ganga, who was actually Ganga Devi, took birth as his daughter. And then Vasudha left her body after due course of time. The children were placed in the care of Janava Mata. And then at the end of his pastimes, it is said that Lord, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said, entered into the body of Toda Gopinath in Jagannath Puri when he left this world. Some say merged into Jagannath and Toda Gopinath simultaneously. Then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he entered into one of his deities, his worshipable deities at his home at Ekachakragram. I think his name is Bunker. Bunker Roy, I think it is. Bunky Roy, like that. So Bunky Roy, he entered into the they say that he entered into this deity at the end of his pastimes. So now we shall go out and chant on the streets for the pleasure of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today is a very special day. And if we're having any difficulty in our Krishna consciousness, and we're finding it difficult to maintain our enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness, today if you fall very humbly, like a stick at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, and pray to him for his mercy, he will give special mercy. And he will give you special taste and enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness once again. Because his duty is to enthuse everyone in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Nityananda Rama ki, Nityananda Prabhu ki, Nitai go Premanandi. So we'll meet at 10:15 in front of Gopal's.